It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays here on News Talk WSB. It's a little moldy up here in Chicagoland, and I'm feeling it in my throat. I hope you are doing all right this Sunday morning. Our number 404-872-0750. If you'd like me to pay for the call, I will. Dial us toll-free, 1-800-WSB-TALK. As always, always on Twitter, my handle there, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And if you're not on Twitter, you are missing half the conversation. I've already started tweeting today with what we're going to talk about this morning. And I hope that you'll want to chat with me there. And then also on the website, thinkglink.com, T-H-I-N-K-G-L-I-N-K.com, where we have asked you always to sign up for the free weekly newsletter, just because there's so much going on in the ThinkLink community. All right, I'm going to start talking about something a little bit differently today. Lines are wide open, taking all of your calls, money and real estate, 404-872-0750. If I can help, that's what I want to do. I want to solve your problems today and make this coming week a better one for you. There was a lot of business news, all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But what I want to start with is something that happened to me last night. It didn't actually happen to me. It happened to my mother and my nieces. We were going to a party that my sister was throwing in a barn. It's an old-fashioned hoedown, and I was very much looking forward to this party. My sister has had planned this all out, and so we, of course, running a few minutes late, just getting ready at 6:10 last night, and the phone rings. It's my mother, and she's babysitting my sister's kids, my nieces, who are so adorable. And she says, I'm going to take Michael to dinner, too. We're all going to go to dinner. Great, Grandma. That's a good thing to do. 2 minutes later, the phone rings again, and Michael comes in, and he says, Mom, Grandma just got in a terrible car crash, and it's 2 blocks from the house, and she says, come right away. So, I'm like, whoa, I thought she was just taking you to dinner. So Sam and I rush over. It's about, you know, half a mile from the house. And what had happened was she, had pulled out. There was a line of traffic in the main street. And she'd kind of pulled out halfway because they'd waved her on. And a guy decided he didn't want to wait in line with the traffic. Swung around 40, 50 miles an hour and clocked my mother's car across the front, turning her in at least 1 360, actually probably more like 1.5 revolutions. Totally took the front of her car off. She drives a big old Jaguar, and wow, I don't think that car's driving anymore. So they managed to get it over to the side of the road. She got out. The kids were fine. And she called us, and we got there in, 2 minutes. And the cops were there. And it just so happened that in my hometown last night, there was a huge party for the local historical society. And so all the cops were there. I mean, everybody was there. So in fact, half the guests at my sister's party had driven by the accident and seen my sister's kids out there and came to the party and went, do you know that your children were involved in an accident? The silver lining of this, the car was totaled. My mother and my sister's kids, my nieces, walked away. They walked away. And in those moments between Mom, Grandma's in an accident, come fast, and are getting there and seeing for ourselves that they're okay, my heart started pounding at about 10,000 miles an hour. Because you just don't know, moment to moment, what's going to happen. And the worst that you can imagine on a given day, and in a time when you're not actually going to the worst place in the world, right, in your head, this isn't anything that comes up, right? My mother was going to take my kid and my nieces out for dinner and then drop my son, Michael, off and then go take the girls and put them back to bed because they're little. And this happened and everything changed. And it changed in a heartbeat, in a moment. In the moment where this guy decided he didn't want to wait in line and was going to go around the traffic and didn't see my mother speeding and boom, crashed her car. And so I started thinking about blessings because here we are in, you know, year six of this incredible recession, this great recession. And so many people's lives have been smashed to bits by something that's careened out of control, out of the lane, not in the right place. And they got caught, did a 360, and wound up in a completely different spot than they were before. And it happened in the blink of an eye. And we have heard, if you've been listening to this show for all these years, you know, over the last 5-6 years, we've been talking about all of this stuff with the housing crisis and foreclosures and all the rest. You've heard these stories of people whose lives have been upended in a moment in ways they had profoundly not expected. And you know what? Life still isn't easy for most people. It isn't easy, and it's really hard to get your bearings. And 3 million people who lost their jobs over the last 6 years still don't have jobs. The new job numbers out this week, there is only one word for them: dreadful. We're still in a horrible place. For many, many people who can hear this show right now, this is still a horrible, horrible recession. And their lives are in that place where you're spinning at 360 and you don't know where you're going to land. And what can you say about that? You're hurting. And I totally get that. And so many of your loved ones are hurting. And if you're doing fine, I know that you have family members, friends, colleagues, relatives whose lives have been destroyed in the last 6 years. And if you're not in the 1%, you've got challenges. Healthcare challenges, job challenges, retirement account challenges, home equity challenges. It's really, really hard. And so as I sat there with the police last night and we had to walk over to the police station and fill out paperwork, and the whole thing took like, we didn't get home until, you know, 2 hours after this thing happened. And thankfully that my husband and I were running a little late so we could go and be with my mother, who was really shaken up. I mean, head spinning, blood pressure. They had the paramedics come, check her out. She was a mess. The girls were a mess. It was really scary. It was a really hard hit. And I thought, so many of us have taken these kinds of body blows. And I know what you're thinking. I can't take one more hit. I can't take one more thing that's going to knock me out of the park, off whatever little balance I have left. I just can't take it. And I watched my mom come out of shock last night and burst into tears and say, I just can't go through it buying a new car. I just can't do it. My mother, who can do anything, turned 75 last week, big parties, big celebration, top of the world, and she's like, I just can't go through it. I can't buy a new car. I can't deal with the insurance company. I can't go to court. You're just going to have to help me. I'm not too proud, she said, to ask for help. In 75 years, well, I haven't been alive 75 years. So in 48 years I've been alive, I don't ever remember my mother raising her hand and saying, I need help. The silver lining, of course, is that nobody got hurt. Right? The guy who hit my mom didn't get hurt. His car's gone too. My mother didn't get hurt. We're getting whatever car we buy for her. She's getting a really big, strong one. Not anything is going to just crumple on her. We want something big and long and strong. But the silver lining is she gets to fight another day. And this business of, I can't buy another car, I just can't deal with it, is going to go away. And give her a couple of days, she'll be just fine. But the silver lining of your life in these darkest days, when you've had so much going on, when you feel like you're at the end of your rope, and it's 6 years and it seems like it's getting better for other people and not you, you have to dig deep to find the golden nugget, the silver lining of your life. And I know that you're thinking, at the very bottom, when you're being really honest at night, when you're awake and you can't watch any more infomercials, I know you're really scared about it. And you're scared it's never going to turn around. And the 360 revolution is never going to stop. And you're never going to find your footing. And you're never going to feel like you're on solid ground. That this has gone on for so many of you for more than 6 years. And I'm just here to tell you, it's going to be okay. The spinning's going to stop. You're going to find your footing. You're going to figure it out. And yes, you'll be 6 years behind or 3 years or 2 years behind where you are going to be in your master plan. And that's just how it is. My mother is mourning the loss of her favorite car, the best car she's ever driven. This car has saved her life. It saved her life yesterday. I'm absolutely sure of it. And that's the silver lining for this. It's just a car. And yes, we can say it's just money and it's just a job and all the rest. And if you have your health and your loved ones, that's all that matters. But sometimes that feels a little thin. And I'm here to tell you, it's going to be okay. And we're going to get through it, house by house, block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, community by community, city by city. This is turning around. This is the year that it begins to change. And it's a huge, massive shift. And it's all starting to shift in the right direction. And you're going to be okay. And that's what I said to my mom last night. And this morning, by the way, when she was still like, oh my gosh, I don't know where I am. I said, you're here. You're with us. You're fine. My sister's going to drive you to the city. You're going to go to your house. You're going to get take a hot shower, change clothes, and take a nap. And you're going to be just fine. And I know you're going to be just fine, too, because if you're stuck in a house without a job, if you're trying to get a loan mod, refi, HARP refinance, if you're trying to stop the spinning and find your place on the ground, you can. You will. And along the way, to pep you up and give you hope, are these little silver linings, these little moments of gold, where you hold on to it for dear life because it becomes a touchstone which helps you remember what it felt like when everything was fine. And that's what I did last night. After I tucked my mommy in, I tucked my nieces in, and I calmed them down and I dried their tears. I said, it's okay. You're going to be just fine. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Happy to take your calls today. 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'll be tweeting online. Do not forget to follow me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to The Elise Glink Show on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. Glad you could be here with us today. Don't forget to check out my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. And if you're not following me on Twitter, you are missing half the conversation. My Twitter handle is at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. It's time for our Real Estate Insight segment, sponsored by Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Rhonda Duffy's with us. Hey, welcome back.
Thanks.
So it's amazing to me how, and studies have shown this, people will spend more time buying a $20,000 car than a $200,000 house. That just blows my mind.
I know, it is pretty mind-blowing. I just think that buyers just don't have a game plan. Their agent doesn't provide the game plan. They get emotional. Before they know it, they're experiencing what 86% of buyers experience, buyer's remorse.
Oh, buyer's remorse. Up at night, and you're thinking to yourself, I just paid $200,000. I'm not happy. Was it the right decision?
Well, who is this neighbor that we didn't know about? Who's this sex offender in the neighborhood that everybody's talking about, right?
Yep.
How come I didn't know that the guy who lived in my house committed suicide in my house? You know, there's one thing buyers can do, and we talk about this a lot in the 8 steps that we use, but there's one thing that's really critical, and that's talking to the neighbors. You need to ask neighbors 7 key questions. By the way, I posted this on my blog this morning, so everybody can go out there to RhondaDuffy.com. But, you know, you need to ask these neighbors 7 key questions and go to 3 sets of neighbors, because I promise you, the neighbors know everything.
They do. And, you know, I've been giving that advice for years for new construction buyers. You want to know how good a developer is? You go around that neighborhood and knock on everybody's door, and they'll tell you exactly what is leaking, what isn't working. Guy came back, he didn't came back, or hopefully he's fabulous.
What's being built around the neighborhood that the subdivision agent failed to tell you? Yeah, all that.
It's really great. Well, those 7 key questions are probably something you'd want to look at. And you've got, what did you call it? You've got it on the blog today, right?
We do have it on the blog, and it's referring to our buyer action timeline, a timeline every buyer should use if you want to be smart about your purchase.
Awesome. Rhonda Duffy of Duffy Realty of Atlanta, thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
All right, I'm Elise Glink. We will be back in just a moment with more of your questions and my answers here on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
35 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for listening today. AM 750, 95.5 FM. 404-872-0750 is our number, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time. We are chatting on Twitter at Glink to join the conversation at GLINK. Don't forget to follow me and sign up for the free weekly newsletter at thinklink.com. All right, let's get to some of these phone calls. Archie joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Archie.
Hi, how are you today?
You know, I'm doing just fine. What about you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. My question for you today is that I have a tenant who's renting my my property, and she wants to buy it, but she cannot afford to buy it now. So what we entered into was a 12-month lease agreement.
And like a lease with an option to buy?
I didn't go in, you know, because she couldn't afford to put a down payment down.
Okay, so you just did a regular standard lease.
For 12 months, that's
okay. And?
So what should our options be? What should we look forward to? Should I maybe develop a lease with option to buy and after the 12 months?
Well, so let's step back a minute. What is it you're trying to do with this property?
I do want to sell. I do want to sell the property, and she wants to buy it.
And do you know if this property is actually worth what you think it's worth? Are you underwater with it, overwater? Where are you?
I am under. That's why the option of letting her lease it maybe will help me to buy time to get closer to, you know, to get the mortgage and the selling price about the same.
Well, how far under are you?
I'm about $40,000 under.
Your property is not going to go up $40,000 in a year.
Oh, I know. That's why.
I just want to, like, throw that out there, Archie.
I definitely understand that, but this was a very appealing option, knowing at least I have a year to, you know, kind of whittle away at the principal.
Right. So how is it that you're dealing with this? Because, you know, what you're setting yourself up for is kind of an issue. Either you're going to have to come to the table with $40,000 to pay off the mortgage, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
Are you planning to do that?
If I must, I will. I want to keep my credit intact, so if I must, I will.
So you have the cash to do that?
I do, yes.
Okay, good. So that's a whole separate issue. So this person doesn't have enough credit. Do they not have a credit, or they don't have a down payment?
She doesn't have a down payment. She owns another property in South Atlanta that her mother stays in. And so she's been getting some advice that the equity in that property can help her to get a mortgage on this property. I've never heard of anything like that.
I don't know who's giving her advice, but
that
it isn't me.
That's what I said.
Ain't me. Okay. You have, the way I see it, a couple of different issues. You want to get rid of this property. Your tenant's not qualified. She doesn't have access to cash. You're going to have to bring cash to the table. Here's my guess as to what's going to happen. The 12 months are going to be up, and she's going to say, I still don't have enough cash. I still don't know how to make this all work. And you're going to say to her, tenant, why don't we do with a lease with an option to purchase? And I will sell this property to you for X, whatever X is, whatever the property is really worth. And you're going to pay me a $1,000 non-refundable option fee. And we're going to do the paperwork now. And every year you can renew the option at this price. It'll never change as long as you keep renewing your option. And when you're ready to pay for the property, I will apply your option money towards the down payment. And that's how you should play it. Because if she doesn't end up being able to buy it, you'll be able to either opt out, she's not going to pick up the option, or you're just going to continue to get rent on the property, which is going to allow you to get closer and closer and closer to the amount that's going to be parity with the mortgage amount. So you win either way.
Oh, I like that.
Now, you need a real estate attorney to help you with the paperwork because you're doing a sale and a lease. This is next year, right? Right now you just have a regular lease.
That's correct.
But if she comes back, you're going to do a sale and a lease together. And you want to make sure you're really protected. So get a real estate attorney, drop the paperwork, have her sign it, and then every year after that, you can still have the rent go up by 5% or 3% a year, whatever you want. She'll pay you the non-refundable option fee, and if she rents it for 10 years and then she buys it, I'm guessing that $40,000 will have fallen to maybe $5,000 or $10,000, or maybe it'll disappear entirely because you're going to be paying down the loan as well. So it's less money out of your pocket, plus you have this option money. You're helping her with the down payment.
Great. Yeah, that's a great option, I think.
So that's what I think you should do.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let me know what happens. I hope it goes well. 40 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, 404-872-0750. Eddie joins us on the line. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, thank you, Elise, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
My situation is that I have an FHA loan for my home, and after about 2 years of unemployment and working with the bank trying to hang on to my house, I got a new job, and I'm still in my house.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
That's the good news. But
that's your silver lining. That's your silver lining, right?
That is the silver lining, yeah. That's the achievement. But
okay.
Now that I have got my loan back intact, the bank actually took all of the interest and penalties and what portions of amount that I didn't pay over that time because we did payment arrangements throughout the 2 years. I find myself in my home where I'm about $100,000 in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
With my home. And what I'm looking to do, first of all, I'd like to know who to call to be able to streamline my my loan. I did streamline a couple of times before I was unemployed to get a lower interest rate or to do something to lower the payments. I'm getting paid about $30,000 less a year than what I was getting paid before.
Right. That's a really big hit, by the way.
Yeah, and the interest, and with the new loan, putting all that back on the end of my loan, my payment has gone up substantially from like $1,100 to $2,000 a month.
Wow, how is that affordable for you?
It's not, and so I feel kind of on lockdown because I tried so many venues of all the making home affordable during that 2 years. Nobody seemed to want to work with me, and. And now I'm kind of gung-shy on where to go. You know, I don't know who to call.
Right.
Try and get this streamlined, what bank to trust. You know, I don't know. I'm glad I'm making this call because before this, I just kind of just put it aside.
You know, it really breaks my heart, Eddie, that you have gone through exactly what I described at the top of this show, which is, you know, somebody basically smacking you across the front and doing a 360. It took 2 years for that to stop for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure in those 2 years, you felt like it was never going to stop.
I don't know how I did it, actually. I couldn't imagine, to tell you the truth.
I'm sure you had, hopefully, really strong family and friends around you supporting you, and you did what I say to everybody who calls the show, who's stuck. I say it doesn't matter what direction you take a step, because if you're stuck, even a step backwards is a step forward. So you just went and put one foot in front of the other, and you walked your way out of this. But you're not done yet, which is why you called today, and I'm so glad you did. You know, you have, as an FHA loan, you do have an option for a streamline refinance. The question really is where your interest rate is now and if a streamline is even going to help you.
Okay.
Because your credit is already pretty destroyed. Right? 2 years without making a payment?
Yeah. You know...
Where is it?
I don't know exactly. I need to know. But I'm going to say that it's probably fair at most.
Okay.
Because I've been back employed now for 2 years. I actually went through another layoff after 1 year, and then I got another job. And so I've been working for 2 years.
Okay.
So I've been making payments. So I'm current on my payments for 2 years.
That's great. So that would qualify you. That would qualify you for a whole bunch of stuff. So that's good. Makinghomeaffordable.gov, what is your interest rate of the loan right now?
4.75%.
The problem is that with a streamlined FHA, you might not get much below 4.25. You're not going to get the 3.25 that everybody had. The thing is, even if you did, it's not going to take your monthly payment from $2,000 back to $1,100. It's only going to take your payment from $2,000 maybe back to $1,700, $1,800. Maybe not even that little, right?
Right.
So the real question you have to ask yourself is, can you afford to stay in this house? Is that what you want to do?
I really don't want to stay in the house, actually. I just want to do it the right way.
Okay. So here's what I'm thinking. What you probably want to do is try and short sale this house.
Okay.
And that just means putting it on the market for whatever it's really worth, like $50,000, if that's what it's really worth. Put it on the market, get rid of this house. $100,000, it's your primary residence, so $100,000 will then be forgiven by the bank, and you'll do the paperwork to make sure that they never, ever come after you for it, and you're not going to get an IRS hit, and you're going to get to walk away from this house. That's what you should try and do. The problem is you got to get everybody to sign on and agree to this, and that could take some time. But I want you to get on it right away. Because your other option is to just walk away from this property. And, you know, I think you probably don't want to do that, just walk away. You could do a strategic default. Or you could try the short sale first. Hopefully somebody, there's much more interest in properties right now. Hopefully the bank will wake up and say, yep, we're never going to get it from this guy. Let's do the short sale, write this loan off, and be done with it. And you will take another hit to your credit.
Okay.
But you will be out of this house and into something much, much, much more affordable for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, being in an affordable home, even in a volatile job market, I mean, I know I could take so many other jobs instead of being locked in my house.
Well, then we need to get you unlocked, unstuck, and out. So what you're going to do is you're going to go find a real estate agent tomorrow and somebody who specializes in short sales, and you are going to get rid of this house. You're going to list this house for sale. You're going to be reasonable about the price. The agent needs to understand how to contact your lender. There's a way to check out how much the lender should approve the short sale for. If the lender is completely unreasonable and they're, you know, not going to approve the price point that your neighborhood really is at, then you're going to have to consider just a foreclosure or a deed in lieu of foreclosure. And that's basically where you get them to sign papers, they take back the house, you walk away, and you're done. It's a much faster process, actually, than a short sale. Short sale's okay. a little better for your credit.
Now, I'm a little confused about, I mean, just go to any real estate agent, and they will be able to walk me through the short sale process?
Well, usually in each neighborhood, there are a couple of agents who seem to own the neighborhood in terms of doing most of the listings.
Yes.
I want you to call those brokerage companies. I want you to speak to the managing broker of the company. Say, hi, my name's Eddie. I need to sell my house. I'm $100,000 underwater. I want to talk to somebody who's a short sale expert in your shop. who works my neighborhood frequently, who works with my lender.
Okay.
And you'll give them that information, and they will put you in touch with the right person. And then you're going to interview it that right person at each of two or three different companies, and you're going to decide who you think is best. And if you don't know what questions to ask on my website at thinklink.com,
okay.
I have all the questions that you should ask real estate agents before hiring them.
Okay. And if I choose to go to foreclosure, should I get an attorney to help me with that?
I would, because you want to make sure that the papers that you sign have the lender discharging your debt, forgiving the debt so that it can't ever come back to haunt you. That's the big thing. You want to make sure it doesn't ever come back to haunt you.
Okay.
So,
I'm here, but the foreclosure attorney, is there any particular place that is a safe place to go to find that foreclosure attorney?
Yes, I will tell you where to go. Go to the Atlanta Bar Association. They have a free, what I would do is don't even go to the free lawyer referral service. They have one. I would call and just ask for the name of the person who heads up the real estate committee for the Atlanta Bar Association. You may even be able to find that name online. Used to be my friend Ricky Novak like 3 years ago, but I don't know who it is now. You're going to call that person, speak to that person. That person is a real estate attorney. Tell that person that you heard about this on my show. You need some help finding the right person, and can they give you some names of people to speak to who understand how to get foreclosures done where the deficiency is discharged and forgiven? And you want to do it this year because the IRS is not going to treat this as phantom income for you. This year, up to December 31st. It may get extended, but I don't know that yet. So if you do this all before December 31st, lockdown, closed, you're done, then there's going to be no IRS hit next year, which is really, really important.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for that. And I feel much better, actually.
Eddie, I'm glad to hear that, because this kind of stuff, God, it eats away at your soul. And you've just come through the worst of it, and I really want to help you get to the finish line.
Well, thank you so much, Lee. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Let me know what happens. It is 50 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink, our number 404-872-0750. How can I help you today? Give us a call. News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
56 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. 404-872-0750 is our number, or if you'd like me to pay for the cost of the call, I am so happy to do that. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Chris joins us on the line from Marietta. So, Chris, you've got 9 rental properties?
Yes, ma'am. I actually have 8. I live in the other one.
Okay. 8 rental properties?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And what do you want to do with them?
Well, this is the problem that I have. I need to do a pay down strategy or something because my reserves are getting a little low. I'm a little tight on money. And so I was thinking that if I let go maybe 2 houses or maybe 3, I can pay off the other ones and you know, kind of own the property free and clear so that way I can build up my cash reserves or do what I need to do. I'm not behind on any of the properties.
Are you underwater on some of these properties?
I am on at least 2.
Okay. But you've got equity in the others.
Yes, ma'am, because I purchased them for about maybe, I think, $20,000 and $17,000 was the last one we bought.
Nice. So those should be profitable.
Yeah, I am making a profit, but with the taxes and all that, I'm still having to come to the table every year with an additional few thousand dollars just to pay the taxes.
So what you should do is take 2 of the properties that have that you think are the least likely to continue to appreciate or that are the most profitable, and you should unload them. You should sell them, right? Make a little money off of it, but then you won't have those payments going out, and then you'll have that money plus the cash that you realize from the sale to then turn around and help defray all of the expenses. Now, I just warn you that if you've been taking depreciation and you make a profit and you've got to recapture the depreciation, so you're going to want to run all of this by your tax advisor before you do it so you understand what the implication is going to be next April 15th. There's definitely going to be some sort of a, when you sell these properties, there will be something to go to the tax man on the other side. You want to understand what that looks like so you don't make a crucial mistake. But unloading one or two of these properties should free up your cash flow situation and probably put a little bit of profit back in your pocket. And that will be good all the way around. Let me know how it goes, Chris. 58 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. Stay tuned. We got a whole other hour to go. I'm going to talk about some of the economic stuff that happened this week. Home prices rising, finally. Awesome stuff. 404-872-0750. We're taking your calls as well. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
It's live, experts, money, and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
It's 106. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, 12 to 2 now because it's football season, so Sunday mornings are now Sunday afternoons with Elise Glink. I'm so glad you could be here. Our number, 404-872-0750. I'll pay for the call if you dial 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time. Tweeting already at Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, if you're not following me. You are missing half the conversation. Well, at least the amount of the conversation that I can get in, answering people's questions and thoughts. If you just follow us at Glink, you'll be able to see all that, which is kind of fun. And online at thinklink.com. where we're about to start another major redo of the site. I remember the last time I announced that on the air was like 4 or 5 years ago. We're getting ready to do it all again. You don't want to miss out. So at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K for Twitter, and thinklink.com. 7 minutes past the hour. Just a little recap of what went on this week. It was just an incredibly, incredibly busy week, given that it wasn't the third week of the month, which is usually when the real estate news comes out. But we saw that unemployment, the unemployment rate dropped to 8.1% from 8.3%, which seems like it's a bit of good news. And yet what that's really telling you is that something like 400,000 people just threw up their hands and walked away. The labor participation rate in this country of people aged like 25 to 54, the labor participation rate fell to the lowest point in like almost 30-odd years. Not a good thing. The number of hours worked isn't really changing. I mean, all in all, when you look at the jobs, the unemployment rate's kind of stinky all the way around. On the other hand, real estate is looking a little bit better. So at the worst of the recession and the housing crisis, we had about 10 to 12 months of inventory on the market. So if you're in real estate, you know that means that if homes continue to sell at the current pace, it would take 12 months to get rid of all the homes that are on the market without adding a single home. Now the inventory is down to between 4 and 6 months, which is great. In fact, that's why home prices are going up. So we saw that home prices have gone up about 9.6% nationally from February, which is when they registered the lowest levels of the housing downturn, according to CoreLogic this week. Home prices in July were up 3.8% from a year ago, which is good. And even though in the last 3 years, we've seen home prices increasing in the spring and summer when people are buying houses, only to drop all the way back in the fall and winter when that activity cools, that's not really happening right now. So it could be that housing prices haven't reached a bottom. And in Georgia, I'm not sure they have reached a bottom. There's a lot of evidence out there that that hasn't happened yet. But it's firming. And across the country, it's firming. And that's actually really good. But we're not seeing an increase in workers' wages, which would, you know, push to a sustainable increase in home prices. We're not seeing hours increase. We still have a whole lot of people, millions and millions of people without jobs. So that stuff's not so good. It was kind of a mixed bag this week, I thought. You want it to all be good news. I really want it to be good news. And it just doesn't always happen. It's not happening for a lot of different people. But we are seeing that big ship starting to turn. We're seeing a bottom form. We're seeing this year, I really believe this year is the year it all changes. And I said it since January. So we'll see at the end of the year. I could be wrong again. Has happened before. Will happen again. But I just feel better about it. And I judge it by what you send me. Your calls, your letters, your email, that helps me get a sense of what's really happening out there. And then I, you know, travel all over the country and I talk to people and see what's going on in their lives. All of that helps to inform my little armchair economist viewpoint. The only thing I would be concerned about, and I'm still concerned about this, is the stock market. So it went up. It's now at 13,300 again. I was with a friend this week. Where was I? Boston. And he said, I want you to know I sold everything this week. I said, really? Why? He said, because I think we're bucking for a correction of at least 10%. I think that's true. Now, he's a more of a trader. He's a very wealthy guy. And what he does with this particular pot of money, which is only one piece of all of his money, is fine. It's not a huge risk. His house isn't at risk. Nothing. He has no debt anywhere. That's not you. So when I tell you this, I'm not telling you to go sell everything. That would be really irresponsible. What I am doing is sharing with you that, you know, in addition to me, there are other people out there who are feeling as though maybe all of this money that's being pumped into the stock market, the U.S. stock market, into the bond market, all this bond buying that the Treasury is about to start doing again, the Fed, people are nervous about that. Prepare yourselves. The rocky ride isn't over yet. It's not all smooth sailing from here. It's not. It's like we see the light at the end of the tunnel, but that tunnel could still have some twists and turns in it before you actually get there. Just be ready. Be ready for a little volatility. Be ready for some unsettling times. And then you'll feel good. When it happens, you'll be like, oh, I knew that was coming. Not a surprise, because it's really the shock and surprise of it that makes it so uncomfortable for us. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Mary joins us on the line from Palm City, Florida. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, what's going on?
Well, I'm trying to get a first mortgage on my home. I paid cash for it.
And why do you need a mortgage now?
Well, because I borrowed some money. I bought a short sale, and it had to be gutted, and I borrowed some money personally to do the renovations, thinking once I'm in, I will get a permanent mortgage, and I'm having some problems doing that.
So let me back up and just ask you, why didn't you get a mortgage to buy the place when it would have been easier?
Well, I was kind of in a hurry to get something. I had to buy within a certain time frame to take advantage of a real estate tax portability option.
Uh-huh.
And so I bought it last year. I closed, I think, in November. And I just needed to get settled.
Okay. So the problem that you're having is that the world doesn't work the way it worked in 2003.
Right.
That's your problem. And you might have gotten a home equity loan or line of credit. Have you tried that?
Well, I would love to try and take advantage of the low interest rates. So I'm really holding out for that low-rate first mortgage.
Yeah, but the problem is you don't want a low-rate first mortgage. You want a cash-out refinance.
Right.
And they don't do cash-out refinances the way they used to.
Right.
And they don't do them for the low interest rates. So you've blown your opportunity to get the low interest rate first mortgage that you thought you were going to get.
Well, I was on the path to getting it, working with a mortgage broker.
Uh-huh.
And because I have a business loss,
yeah,
a large net loss carryover, and it was a one-time loss that they're now saying does not get backed out of the equation as far as my income. But I've been doing some research, and I've seen different places where people are saying that that should be deducted from my income, like depreciation or something would, because it's a one-time, non-recurring event. I did speak to someone that said I might be eligible for a portfolio loan, mortgage. But again, that's the higher rate because they do back it out of your income. So I'm wondering, like the Fannie Mae guidelines, is that how it's supposed to work?
You're not going to get a Fannie Freddie loan with your background and history because lenders don't really want to lend to people like you. I've heard of people getting denied for a loan for a $1,500 loss when they have a six-figure income on a business that they are a minority shareholder in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a one-time loss, and it's a $1,500 thing, and it's irrelevant completely to their asset structure, and they've gotten rejected for a loan. Because the bank says, well, it might be next year, it might be $150,000 loss. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to decide what you're willing to pay for the money you need.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the loan, you may down the line be able to refinance that, because once you have a loan, then all you're doing is refinancing for the current amount, and then you may fall into a much better bracket.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have to pay more for this loan.
So you think the equity line is the way to go?
I think you can get... How long do you want to have the loan? How long do you need the money for? Because equity lines right now are like 2 points over prime. Mm-hmm. So it's not super low either.
Right.
I mean, it's really low, historically speaking. It's not like 10%. But, you know, you might pay 4 or 5% for it as opposed to the 2.75% you're thinking you might get.
Right. Well, what I would ideally wanted to do was a 15-year permanent, you know, fixed-rate mortgage. So
well,
I don't know.
Here's how, if you want that, you're going to have to go get some sort of fancy, dudded up portfolio loan that you're going to pay a lot more for. And then after you've had that loan for a little while, you can go refinance that amount for a low interest rate first mortgage. Because then you fall into a much more normal category once the stuff on your balance sheet has moved away a little bit, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you have on your business profit and loss is going to scare a lot of people. So until that moves further into the past, you're not going to get that. So you have to decide if you want to just bite the bullet and get either a home equity line of credit or a portfolio loan, and then when your balance sheet balances out a little bit more, refinance that. You have to decide if that's what you want to do, because otherwise I don't see a lot of options for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wasn't trying to get a Fannie Mae loan. I was just told that this underwriter, they go by those guidelines.
Most of them do.
Yeah.
Because Fannie and Freddie and FHA are 93 or 94% of all the loans in the market right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a lot of, you know, the pool of companies that is buying loans, it's not like it was in 2002 and 2003 where lots of different companies were taking flyers and buying all kinds of loans, not even looking at what people had on their balance sheets. And by the way, none of this is to say that I think that you can't afford your mortgage. I think you probably can afford your mortgage. All I'm saying is you don't fall into, you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, and
right.
Nobody wants square pegs right now. It's out of favor. It's too much work.
I never imagined it would be this hard. I mean, I paid $300,000 cash for my home. And
nobody wants your business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know. It is. But let me just say, you paid $300,000 cash for your home. I mean, the fact that you could do that
puts
you way far ahead where a lot of the other people who call me are, where their houses are now hundred thousands of underwater and they don't know what to do.
I know, as I've been listening to your show while I'm on hold, I see that.
Yeah, so what I'm saying to you is not that, you know, you have a big silver lining, right? Today's show topic is all about silver linings. You've got a lot of silver linings and you've had a lot of blessings, and that's great. And I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. All I'm saying is the world doesn't work right for them either anymore.
Right.
Everybody has been touched by what has gone on in the last 6 years. Nobody escapes. Nobody escapes unless you're the 1%, and then you get to escape everything. But everybody else that I know, and that includes me, doesn't get to escape. Everybody gets touched in one way or another, and it's irritating and annoying at the very best and devastating at the worst. And so for you, it's irritating and annoying, and you're not going to be able to get 2.75% and pay no points. It's just not going to happen for you.
Right.
So you have to decide if you need that cash, what you're willing to pay for it, Find the cheapest way to do it and hope in 2 years the Fed is right, that interest rates are still really low so that you can go and refinance this loan. Because I think that that's going to be your best bet. And everything else is a toss-up. 404-872-0750. We have a prize pack to give away next, so stay tuned. I'll be right back with that and more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at FakeBlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's time for WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to the Elise Glink Show. Get this. The prize value, $135. It includes a pair of tickets to the second annual Art and Design Show House, September 14th to the 29th in Marietta, a family four-pack of tickets to the Georgia North Georgia State Fair happening September 20th to the 30th at Jim Miller Park in Marietta, and a four-pack of tickets to see the 29th annual Atlanta Fall Home Show, September 21st to the 23rd at the Cobb Galleria Center, and a $25 gift certificate to the Lakewood 400 Antique Market happening September 14th to the 16th in Cumming. Wow. All this can be yours if you are the fifth caller. The prize pack line, 404-741-0750. 404-741-0750. Good luck. Be nice to Shannon. She's the one who's going to be taking your call. You know, with interest rates, I didn't mention this earlier when I was doing the news. Mortgage interest rates fell again this week to the near historic low record. Kind of unbelievable. And we were just talking to Mary about how she's not going to qualify. And I want to say that while I talk about how there's this 5-1 adjustable mortgage fixed for 5 years, available at 2.75% with 0.6 points, according to the Freddie Mac Weekly Survey, many people aren't qualifying for these rates. So you may hear that a 30-year rate's at 3.25%, and you get the quote, and it's 4.5%. Why is that? It is because you might be the square peg trying to fit into a round hole. Banks are completely unforgiving of anything other than cookie-cutter refinances right now. If they can't do it in 2 seconds and sell it to Fannie and Freddie, either they don't want your business or they charge you up the wazoo for it. And you have to understand, it's not personal. It's not that they don't like you. It's just that you're the square peg, they've got a round hole, and there are lots of other round holes. It's just easier and better and cheaper and more profitable to find those round pegs, and that's what they're going to do. 404-872-0750, I'm Elise Glink. I'm going to answer more of your questions, so stick around and listen to News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
35 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me today. 404-872-0750. I am tweeting just now the coolest book that I think is coming out. Yes, I had a small little tiny hand in publishing it, but I know the writers and the editor, and it's very cool. So if you want to know what book I think is the coolest thing, I've just tweeted it, so follow me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I put in the link to Amazon where you can pre-order it. The pre-order form just went up today. There will be an e-book version. That's not ready to go yet, but very, very cool. 404-872-0750 on the Elise Glink Show. We have a lot of stuff going on at ThinkLink this week. We're launching a big contest later this week with the Equifax Finance blog. You're going to have to follow me on Twitter or sign up for the free weekly newsletter in order to get the early in on it. It's going to launch, I think, I want to say this week, Thursday, but I don't know. That date could change. But it's really cool. We have cash prizes. You know that I wouldn't be involved in anything that's not really fun. So not only will it be fun, you're going to learn a lot. Even better. So follow me on Twitter at Glink, at GLINK, or sign up for the free weekly newsletter at thinklink.com, or go to the Equifax Finance blog. There will be all kinds of details. And then next Sunday, when it's all up in bloom, the contest is fully going, I'll talk at length about it. Okay, let's go back to the phone, see if we can help some folks out today. Ryan joins us on the line from Marietta. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What's going on today?
Well, ma'am, my wife and I just bought a house about 3 months ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. While we were unpacking, we found another inspection report kind of stashed off in a cabinet, in the back of a cabinet.
Really?
Yes, that we were never shown during the due diligence period, during the disclosure, during anything, and it detailed some serious issues with the house that had we seen this, we would have gone and had a whole different set of inspectors come out and look. And
so don't tease us. Tell me, what did it say?
Well, it basically said that there was water infiltration in the basement. And when we had our inspector come out, it was during when Atlanta is dry, and he saw no signs of this. Well, I found this, my wife found it and showed it to me, and we looked at it and we thought, well, this is not good. And so we went and we started getting, you know, we thought maybe we should get an inspector. Well, as you know, it rained a few months ago and the basement just flooded. And we got a structural engineer out, and the engineer that came out, just called us into the basement. He had a bunch of equipment with him. He showed us plates. He said, you see right here, someone has painted over where water's come in. And, you know, neither of us being architects or engineers really knew what we were looking at. And we asked,
why didn't your current inspector see that?
That's what we said. That's what we asked first. And he said, you know, this guy who came out specializes in this kind of work. And he said, 99% of all inspectors will not see this kind of thing.
Okay. So did you call back the broker for the seller or your broker?
Well, I called my broker. My broker said we need to talk to the seller. Now, the seller said, because this was a corporate relocation, the seller said, well, we just sold it for this relocation company. We didn't really have anything to do with it, and kicked me over to the relocation company. And the relocation company is claiming that they got it from another relocation company. I'm getting the runaround from these three companies, basically.
So let's start at the top. The top is, when was the first inspection report dated?
The first inspection report was dated, I think, July of 2011.
Okay, and did they try to sell the house in July of 2011?
It was on the market.
Okay. Who had it on the market?
The people who told me that they gave it to another relocation company.
So, a couple of things. First of all, you need a lawyer.
Yeah.
You need a lawyer. And the reason you need a lawyer is that it's possible that nobody's legally at fault. So when they turned it over to a relocation company, they should have told them there was a leaking issue, but they may have thought they fixed it. You're only required in most states, and I'm not a lawyer, but I do know kind of how this law works for seller disclosure. You're only required to disclose current problems. If they found out there was massive water infiltration and they thought they had actually cured that, then they are not required to disclose it to you again.
Well, based on what this structural engineer showed us, they kind of put a Band-Aid on one corner of the issue.
They did, but you don't know who did it. You don't know if it's the people from a year ago July who actually owned it, or...
Oh, I know who did it. That, we have that, too.
And what did you find out there?
The work was done for the original owner even before this report.
Of the painting over it?
No. They tried to do some remediation in one small area of one corner of the basement, and then kind of ignored the rest of it.
Well, is it possible they didn't have the same massive flooding that you did?
I can't imagine, looking at the way that the water comes in, I can't imagine how that would be possible.
Okay, so then you really need an attorney, because you have to figure out, or the attorney has to figure out, who's going to get sued.
Okay.
and you're going to have to sue for seller disclosure. And the problem is that it's a lot of out-of-pocket. Insurance doesn't cover it. You may not win. Even though you may be right, you may not win. And if you do win, what is it you're going to win? So all of that has to go into the conversations with the attorney. And you want somebody who specializes in seller disclosure, who has had litigation experience, who really understands the issue and has won cases. That's who you're looking for. So I'm going to give you the same advice that I gave a couple calls back. You need to call the, well, you could call the Marietta Bar Association or the Atlanta Bar Association because it's bigger, or the Georgia Bar Association, right? And you're going to ask for the head of the real estate committee. And you're going to tell them this story, and you're going to tell them that you need some referrals, and they're going to know who you should call.
I see.
And you're going to get the best attorney, and you're going to then have a consultation. You're going to bring to the consultation all of the paperwork, the documentation, tell your story, and say, what do you think our legal options are? Because when relocation companies take on property, oftentimes they take on the property as is. And your contract may have stated that you buy this house in as-is condition.
Yeah,
and they could claim, we never lived in the house. We didn't know it flooded. So unless prove that they knew or should have known, meaning that it did flood and somebody had to come in and mop it up and repaint it, then they knew it had flooded. You can say, then you may be able to say, well, you should have told me that. And then you can prove that they didn't. But I'm saying it's trickier than you would imagine.
Oh, okay. Because, see, the reason I say that they knew is because the inspection report that we found was not commissioned by the seller originally. It was commissioned by the relocation company. And so it was named, they are named as the primary person who requested the inspection. So they absolutely positively knew this.
Which relocation company?
This was the original relocation company.
And you didn't buy it from them?
No, I didn't.
You bought it from a different relocation company.
Correct.
So the legal question, one of the many legal questions is, was there an obligation for that relocation company to tell the next relocation company that they had a serious problem? Was there liability there? I don't know.
I see.
That is one question that needs to be discussed. And until you find a lawyer who's been in that situation and dealt with this, you're not going to know the answer. That's why I'm saying it's not a slam dunk.
I see.
I don't know enough about the intricacies of Georgia real estate law. I'm not a real estate lawyer. I haven't tried cases like this. I don't know how this would come out. I'm just saying they should have told you ethically, but they wanted to dump the house. And if you didn't, did you ask specifically, does this basement ever leak?
No, we did not specifically ask that.
And the attorney might say, I don't know, but the attorney might say, well, you didn't ask them specifically. If you asked specifically, is there radon in this house? Does this property leak? Is there a mold issue? Then they might have been required to tell you. But if you don't ask, they may not be required to tell you. So that's why you need somebody who's really, really smart and really, really good.
Okay.
And then you're going to shake the tree and you're going to see what falls out. Now, have you had somebody come in to tell you what needs to be done to fix this?
Yes.
So what needs to be done?
Basically, one of these moisture remediation companies has to come in and seal the other walls in the basement. When I say they did a small Band-Aid, they sealed a very short wall of the basement, like a 10-foot wall, and completely ignored the rest of it.
Okay, and how much is that going to cost?
Depending on which estimate, anywhere from $15K up to about $70K.
Okay, so it's enough money to fight over.
Yep.
And you're just going to have to see what happens. But you can't live in the house as is because mold is bad and it could kill you.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, we're living in the house now. We've got the basement kind of roped off.
Right, but you're going to have to fix it.
Yes.
Right. If you want to stay in this house, you're going to have to fix the problem. So that's a different question for a different day. But the first thing you need to do tomorrow is call and find a couple of attorneys to go talk to and open up a conversation with the relocation company and maybe all the other ones, because when you sue wide, right? You hit them all and see where the money shakes out from or the culpability, and then you're going to have to figure out what the strategy is going to be. It's going to be a long, time-consuming, expensive process. You may or may not get your attorney's costs covered if you win, and you may not win, in which case everything is out of pocket. And so I'm telling you that because you're going to, in this conversation with the attorney, you need to ask, what percentage of these cases get won? How strong a case do I have? Should we go after these people legally, or are we best off simply paying for this and moving on and learning our lesson? And while I know you think they're wrong, and ethically they may be, legally they may not, and it just never goes like L.A. law. You know, you go into court, Boston Legal, the good guys always win. But I'm in the real world, I'm here to tell you that it does not always happen. So set your expectations accordingly.
Okay.
I just want you to be aware going in. I'm not trying to paint a black picture for you. I'm just saying you bought a damaged house, and that just may be where it ends up. And it may not be fair, and it may be really expensive, and you may not have the money to fix it. And all of that said, that may still be where you end up with a damaged house.
Right.
Okay? Will you let me know what happens?
Will do.
All right. Take care. Good luck tomorrow with that call. You're going to need it. It's 49 minutes past the hour. I want to step back and say all houses have problems. You want to, when you buy a house, you want to think to yourself, I'm making the very best purchase I can. I've asked the questions I need to ask. I've had hired the inspectors I need to hire. But things get missed. Old houses have big old problems sometimes. New houses can have new big problems sometimes. It just depends. But when you buy a house, you buy the problems. And sometimes nobody's at fault. Sometimes stuff just breaks. Sometimes somebody lied and tried to cover it up. And it does seem like somebody tried to cover this up here. But because of the provenance of what happened with this house, relo company to relo company, it's possible that the original seller's owners never even knew. Now, I agree, that's completely unlikely. But you always have to ask the question the right way, flat out, to the broker, to the seller, has this property ever leaked? When did this property leak? How did you fix the leak when it happened? When did you have somebody in? May I have the name and number of the contractor who fixed it in case I have problems going forward? What do I need to know about this house that you have not yet told me? You got to ask it straight out. And even then, you may not get the answers you need. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 56 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Kling. Thanks so much for listening today. And thanks to Shannon and Andrew for producing a great show. Really appreciate all of that. Let's go back to the phones. John joins us on the line from Buckhead. Hey, John, are you selling your property?
We sell several of them. And we will, and I did that up in upstate New York. We would use land contracts, lease purchase, or with our clientele if they were able to qualify, you know, a straight conventional sale.
Okay.
But most of the work was either lease purchase or land contract. The land contracts would typically be a 25-year amortization schedule, but all due and payable in five, at which time we usually found that the buyers would have built up their credit. They could go out and get a regular mortgage. Lease purchase, you know, you get somebody that's probably going to be a good buyer, but they don't have any cash. They can come up with enough for a lease payment. And after that...
Look, John, let me just jump in and say, what is the question? Because we're running out of time here.
Oh, okay. Which is better in Georgia?
It just depends. It depends on the entire situation. There's no better or worse. I would say to you now that most people would probably prefer to do a lease with an option, but a contract for sale, which is like an installment sale agreement, I think is fraught with more problems for sellers generally.
Okay.
I would think that you'd probably, you know, have to look and see what the person is most comfortable with. But I, as a seller, would rather maintain full and total control over my property, you know, than doing it piecemeal. That's just what I would prefer. So lease with an option for me, for my money, would probably be better. And that's no matter where you live. Thanks so much for your call. It is 58 minutes past the hour. Music's playing. That means our time is up. If I didn't get to your call today, I will try really hard to answer it if you send it to elise@thinklink.com. It's a very busy week, but we will try and get to your questions and see what we've got in the way of answers for you. Remember, go to thinklink.com, thinklink.com. 8,000 pages of information, answers to your questions. We podcast all of our shows. There are links to the Equifax Finance blog and our stories at MoneyWatch and Yahoo all over the place. Join the ThinkLink community, sign up for the free weekly newsletter, and follow me on Twitter. I'm at Glink to be part of that fabulous contest we're launching this week. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the day, and I'll see you again next Sunday. I